Well, good morning, everybody. Are we all ready for the Christmas?
Whoa.
Noel asked me to share about, obviously over the next few weeks, we're going to be sharing some of the Christmas story. And I suppose I'm first up, as we're running into the, up to Christmas Day and then into the new year. And I suppose the theme of my message this morning is the gift of God, or that God has given us his son. And I thought about that for a while. You can just go straight into that and say, and be, John 3:16, for the Lord loves the world and he gave his only son and all that kind of stuff, which is brilliant. But I think we have to look at the context and the reasoning behind it, and why we were given such an amazing gift, and what that gift has done in our own lives and in our own personal testimonies. I was talking to a couple of guys there in work during the week. I'm not judging anybody. I can't judge anybody myself. But I can just tell the story of how things went in the conversation. I don't mean to be judgmental or anything like that, but I'm just telling the story how it went. And one of the guys is an alcoholic and one of the guys is a drug addict, and I'm standing in the middle of the two of them, and next minute a conversation with God comes up. And every time that happens to me anyway, it's always disastrous, you know what I mean? Because no matter what you say, you're always in the wrong, you know? And one of the guys, the alcoholic fellow, he understood God, you know, everything about God. He understood everything. And then he went to tell me about God and everything about God. And then the drug addict guy jumped in and says, no, you're wrong. He knew everything about God. And the thing that struck me, and hey, I'm not judging anybody. Not judging nobody. I can't judge anybody. But the thing that struck me was, and I believe that God put it on my heart because it couldn't get out of my mind for days after. The thing that struck me was that their combined knowledge of God meant nothing to them. Because one of them is an alcoholic. My man was a drug addict and he couldn't get free. Do you understand that? So it meant nothing. But they knew about God and they knew everything about God. It meant nothing to them. Because the reality was, their God was something else. And they were worshipping that God. And they were dying on the altar for that God. You with me? And it struck me as I came to this word, that what do we know about this? And what effect does it have on our lives? Because we all know the Christmas story. Long, long, long before I got born again, I knew the Christmas story. You hear it all the time, don't you? Every year, don't you? We hear it every year, don't we? Unless sometimes Christmas is banned in your house for 1 year. You hear it every year from the time you're growing up, don't you? About the Christmas story, Christ's Mass, Christmas, the coming of the Son. We sang the, long before I was a Christian, I sang them songs. Long, drunken, midnight mass. Didn't know what was going on. Singing these songs about a Savior coming and praise Him and the King of Angels. Didn't have a clear what I was talking about. But you couldn't stop me singing them songs. Yeah? Because it was Christmas. And that's what we've done in Christmas. But it meant nothing to me. You with me? It meant nothing to me. And so, that's what's on my heart this morning, is that this message must impact on us. It must have an impact on us. It must mean something to us. And how do we get it to mean something to us? Well, we get to understand what's it about. And I believe knowledge is power. I really do believe that. The more that we understand Scripture, the more it becomes powerful in our lives. Peter says, always giving an account, in or out of season. You should always know what you believe in. And you should never be doubtful about it. And if you are doubtful about it, then you go to the Bible studies, you talk to people, you ring people, you ask. What's that mean? How does that mean? Where did that come from? Boom, 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 boom. And that's the whole meaning of preaching, is that we come in on a Sunday morning and we learn about the Word of God. It's not a religious thing. Like, we're great at religion here in this country, aren't we? We come in here and I hope he's a quick preacher. You know, remember that years ago, man? I hope he's a quick priest. You know what I mean? Oh, he's a quick priest. He'll be out there in 20 minutes. And we do that. Don't all get high and mighty, because we do that in here. Hope he's quick this morning. You know, anything after 20 minutes, we start falling asleep. No matter what he's talking about. He could be jumping on the stage and doing, he could be doing whatever, handstands and everything. I just fall asleep. But it's after 20 minutes. And he's not meant to go after longer than 20 minutes. And again, we're missing the point. We're missing the point about listening to people preaching is about learning something about what the Word of God is saying. And we're doing it collectively. We're doing it as a group. Yeah? So what is this gift all about? Well, I'm going to go into three sections of Scripture, right? The first one is the prophecy. The second one is the plan. And the third one is, a good preacher will always have 3 points. The third one is the fulfillment. So we got that, the prophecy, the plan, and the fulfillment. And here's the prophecy. It goes right back into Genesis 3. If you would turn with me to Genesis 3. And we're in verse 15. And the context of the story is that, and people don't like to hear this nowadays. It's very controversial, this passage of Scripture. Really controversial. A lot of people will want this cut out of the Bible. People get very offended with this stuff. You know, they get very upset about it. They don't like preachers or churches or organizations or anything like saying anything negative about the human nature. But the Bible is very, very clear. The Bible says there's a thing called original sin. Now I've said it. It's called original sin. In other words, that birthed in every human being is the sin disease. And no one can escape from it. People hate that. In this modern day and age, they hate that. They'll run you out of the place if you mention that. Any psychology, anything like that, any courses you're on, anything, you say that and you'll be laughed out of the room. But the reality is, the Bible talks about this. The Bible's very clear on this. That the heading of this chapter is called the fall of man. And God is very, very, very serious about this. The whole Bible is based on this. This is the narrative. This is what it's all about. There's no other story in here other than this. It's called the fall of man. What happened? And all of a sudden, sin was found in man. And God knew that in the very nature of man, man's very nature, you have to understand that, we were given this God nature, we were given this relationship nature. Adam and Eve were given that God breathed his life into them, and we were given this special, a completely different relationship than the angels, a unique relationship with God that man had coming from the clay of the earth. And that they had this nature where they were where to talk with God and meet with God in the cool of the evening. Where they were to have this special, unique relationship with the Father. And all of a sudden it was broken. And sin broke that relationship. And God knew that. And God knew that this was going to carry on from generation to generation. If you study your Bible, you'll see it. From the very sons of Adam, sin was entered in. And you read about it. And they became evil in the earth. One after the other. You read about it. You read about the sons of Cain. You read about the sons of Adam. You read about them, Jabal and all these sons, all these men, the Bible calls the heroes of renown. They were all sinners and godless because of this sin issue. But God had a plan. From the very beginning, God had a plan, a purpose, a way out, a prophecy, hope that this is not going to be the end of it all. And even when Cain was born, Eve called Cain the one hoped for. She thought Cain was going to be the Christ. But he wasn't. He was the first murderer. God had put hope in man that this is man's lot. That sin is not going to prevail. That sin is not going to win over. That the separation is not going to be forever. And he said this amazing. And I, talking about God, will put enmity, in other words, an enemy. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring, he's talking to the devil, between your offspring and hers. And he will, here's the hope, Here's what we long for. Here's what we hope for. Here's what we're looking forward to. He will crush your head and you will bruise his heel. And that's the hope for mankind. See, it's not a pretty little story now, is it? We're not leading up to Christmas time now, a pretty little story. We have a pretty little tree and we'll all talk about pretty little things. This is the hope for mankind. This is the one that comes. He's going to crush. That's what he's talking about here. From the very beginning, I will, God saying, I will put him on dessert. What's what I'm going to do? I have a plan. I have a plan. And that plan is going to not just be some fanciful story and happy story that made everyone feel good, but it's actually going to deal with the problem of sin. It's actually going to deal with it's actually going to bring a hope into our life. It's actually going to change our nature. Many years ago, before I became a Christian, that nature was in me, that sin nature. And before I was even conscious of it, and again, controversial, but before I was even conscious of it, I was a sinner. I was rebellious against God. I was anti-God. I was a God hater. The Bible says that very clear, that we're God haters. And I'd done everything I could to undermine anything of God. I remember my sister became a Christian. She was born again, she became a Christian. I laughed at her and made jokes about her. And the very nature that was inside me was against God. And that's what he's talking about here. It's the natural born. People don't like to hear that. Oh, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. You don't know me. I was talking to a fellow one day. He was an armed robber. He was an armed robber, this guy. Multiple robberies, in and out of prison all his life. Done this, done that, and done the other. And I was trying to bring him into a place of repentance. And he goes, oh, no, no. Me and God have a special deal. I'm all right with God. See, that's a God hater. That's him making up a God. Because he doesn't really want to go to the real God. Because if he goes to the real God, he's to get on his knees and repent before him and admit, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that because we're natural born sinners. We don't want to go to the real God. We go to the God that we create ourselves. But if we understand, and the fruit, and this is the crux of it. The fruit of the knowledge of his God was that he was still this broken person that was going nowhere in life. That was the fruit of his life. You with me? No one had crushed any heel in his life. No one had killed anything in his life. There was no death in his life. Just sin. And the continual sin, which was destroying him. Which destroys us. But if we understand and get to know this God, that crushes the head of Satan in our lives and breaks that seal of sin and that separation. But then everything changes like it did for me in 1995. My whole nature changed. My whole nature changed overnight when I got born again. When the one who crushes the head came into my life and set me free from sin and the nature of sin and the hold of sin in my life. I was a fellow that would rub the oil out of your head and come back for your eyelids. I was one of those guys. No conscience. I had very little conscience. No, I wasn't conscious of anything or hurting anybody. I remember people saying to me, family members, now, how could you be so cruel? And all. I used to be a very cruel, cruel person. Didn't think of anything. When I got born again, I couldn't do as much as rob a penny of an office. That I'd walk 300 yards back to the office and give it back to them. Sorry, I took that out by accident. I'm sorry about that. I wouldn't mean that. I couldn't do as much as leave a piece of paper on the floor. And I felt God within me. I felt his presence within me, guiding me, a light onto my path. All of a sudden, he had ignited my conscience and he gave me a new nature. Can you imagine that? Isn't that fantastic? But the only way that that nature can come in is if we understand who he is. Turn with me to Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9. It's getting better, this one. This is amazing. Amen. There's no Santa Claus in this one, guys, unfortunately. Isaiah 9. You ready? Listen to this. This is 1,000+ years before Bethlehem. 1,000+ years. Can you imagine? This is the prophecy, the prophet Isaiah. And he's speaking. In the 1900s, right? All the kind of anti-Christian people in the world, anti-Bible people anyway, blamed the Christians. They said that the Christians put this in here. Right? They did. And for tens of years, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, they believed that the Christians, the Jews were saying it, and the anti-Christians were saying it. They said, the Christians put this in here. They put this in here. Until in 1947, they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. And the Dead Sea Scrolls were 1,000 years older than anything they had. 1,000 years older before Christianity. And what was in the Dead Sea Scrolls? Isaiah 9. And I absolutely wiped the board with them. And it was God saying, oh, hold on. I told Isaiah to speak this. And listen what he told Isaiah to speak. Listen, 1,000 years before Bethlehem. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. It's a picture of the salvation of mankind. The one who deals with sin. The one who comes and sets us free from our sin nature. The one who comes and breaks the gap and brings us back to the Father. The one who comes and gives us authority to boldly walk into the throne room of God. The one who makes a way. The only one. It says in Revelations, and John was the revelator, and he was in the vision. And the angel was beside him, and all of a sudden, the cry went out to heaven that nobody could be found to open the seals. In other words, to break the power of the devil. That's the seventh seal, was to break the power of the devil over the earth. And the cry went out to heaven, and John seeing that no one could be found, it actually said he went to heaven and he went to hell to find somebody that could have the authority to break this hold that the devil had over man. And no one could be found, and it said that John wept bitterly. And then one was found. It was the Lamb. The Son of God. See, he had to be a man to save men. He had to come as a child. He had to be one of us to save us. He had to be tempted like all of us. He had to go through what all of us go through. He had to be our high priest, one who could understand us. He couldn't be just anybody. That's why no one could be found in heaven. No angels, no nothing. Had to be a man. He had to come as a child. He had to come to save us. He had to be one of us. And if that's what it says, because he was one of us, all authority was given to him. Isn't that amazing? Because he was one of us, all authority was given to him. Onto his shoulders. And he's the one I'm going to meet someday. I said to a fellow one day, he said, oh, this Christianity and all, this is all a lot of rubbish. And he said, oh, this blah, blah, blah. I said, you know what? I got a revelation about 9 years ago. Because sometimes the human heart gets a hold of you. And I used to say to myself, sort of, I get into heaven no matter what. Hebrews 12, just by the born, I'll get in anyway. And I was holding on to that stuff for a while, you know what I mean? And it was kind of, I didn't really care much about things. I didn't really have a passion about things. In other words, I just knew I was saved. It's a real addict type of thing. I'm in and I'm in. And then I remember one day Jesus came and said, one day you're going to see me. You're going to look me in the eye. And you're going to have to give an account for your life. And some people see that and go, ah, well, you know, I'll blag him. You know what I mean? Like, I'll blag him and all that. I remember saying to a fellow, go tell him what you want. Boom, 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 boom. Because we put a human term on it. But I will actually look into his eyes. Him. This, the one who was born, that very man, the one whose authority was put on his shoulders, the one that it says in Revelation where fire in his eyes, I will face him one day. And I will bow before him because he set me free from that sin nature. And I will cast my crown before him. And I will give him glory because he made a way for me. He gave me a new name. He's my king. He's the one I follow. This is the story. This is the one. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of the only one that can set me free. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it a tremendous story? From Genesis to the major prophet. And now we're going into the New Testament. Go with me into Luke. Oh, sorry, Matthew, I think it is. I hope I'm right. Sorry, I'll just be there now in 2 seconds. And it says there in Luke, chapter 2, verse 8. We have the prophecy. We have the plan. To us the Son is given. Now we have their fulfillment. This is amazing. This is the greatest. Guys, I don't know if I can emphasize this as much as I can. And it's very hard to do this on human terms. This must be a personal revelation to you. It must be a personal understanding. This must be something that in some cases you need to go home and really go on your knees about this. This is something that you really have to seek God, maybe pray and fast about this. This is something that this is the deep on the deep stuff here. Because it can be lost in all this. Every year we hear about Christmas and all this can be lost. But can I just say something to you? This is the greatest news ever. Ever. The greatest news that would ever came out of the utterance of any man, this is it. The coming of the Son. The greatest. The whole of history is central to this. And the whole of history will be central to it if you read your Revelation. This is it. There's nothing beyond this. There's nothing in heaven or on earth that can touch this. This is what God talked about in Genesis 3. This is what all the prophets talked about. This is what David sang about. This is what was talked about in all the stories of the Bible. This is the central theme. This is it. This is everything. This is what heaven was waiting on. If you read this story, you'd see heaven opened up and all the angels were wondering what is going on here. This is the coming of the child. This is the central theme. This is the most important thing. This puts everything in a halfway place. I used to say to people when I was in treatment and all that, how can that take the place of this and take the place of that? I tell you, when you get more into it, it leaves everything in a halfway place. Because it deals with your very nature, your very understanding. I've seen people, and I've done it myself, but I've seen people that had everything. They had money, they had success, they had prosperity, they had this and they had that and they had the other. They had everything. They had fame, they had popularity, they had good looks, they had everything. And they were as miserable as anything. And nothing satisfied. The more they had, the worse they got. I've seen people that had nothing, that lived out of the arse of their trousers and had nothing for years and drank and searched and looked and searched and searched and could never find anything. I've seen those two people. And once you come in contact with Jesus, everything changes. Everything changes. Because he's the only one that can meet that deep inner need in the human soul. He's the only one that can touch the heart of a man. He's the only one that has the authority to look into your heart. He's the only one to look into your heart. He's the only one that can do it. Nobody else can. No psychiatrist, no nothing can look into my heart and judge me. Nobody can. only him. And once he does, everything changes. Everything changes. And this is the account of him. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Maybe I'm just getting too overexcited about this stuff. I don't know. Whoo! And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. Imagine the greatest news of all is the first people to hear are the lowly nothings. What a type of what's to come, yeah? The first people to hear, you think the first person to hear would be the king in the palace, but he was a madman trying to kill him. The first person to hear it was the lowly nobodies. It's great, isn't it? Isn't it? The lowly nobodies. The shepherds in the field doing the job that no one would do. And they were the first people to hear the greatest news ever. And it said, the shepherds are in the field, keeping watch over their flocks at night, all the time. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you that you will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly a great and heavenly host appeared with the angels praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherd said to the one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them and about this child. And all who heard it were amazed what the shepherds had said to them. Greatest news ever. Greatest news ever. This is the Christian message. This is our hope. This is the hope for all mankind. Why is it? If you're a thinking person, why is it that 2,000 years later, this baby still hasn't affected you? Not just a superficial, oh, I thought about that for a minute, but a life-changing, radical effect on people. Why? I was watching a program last night. I'm a history buff. I love history. And there's a program about the Celts, which people say Irish people are Celts, and about the Romans, and about how great the Celtic nation was, and how far spread they were, and how tremendous. If you go down to the Irish Museum down there, you see all their artwork, see all the stuff that they dug up, all the gold and everything they've done, and a great and amazing culture. It's gone. Does anyone know anything about Celts anymore? Does anyone know anything about, where's the Rome? Where's the Caesars? Where's all these amazing people? Where's Apollo? I was in Ephesus there a couple of years ago, and all these amazing buildings built to Zeus and built to Apollo and built to all these gods. Where are they now? Where are they? Who are they? But I tell you, the baby's still here. He set me free in 95. Look at me now. Who could do that? Some figure of someone's imagination. Why can he do it? How can he do it? Because he's alive. He's living. He has the authority. He's the Savior. He's the one prophesied about. He's the one that God gave us. He's the salvation of mankind. He brings hope to us. He's saving us. He's touching us. He's healing us. He's delivering us. He's real. He's alive. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you for your word. Father, we love you. Father, we worship you. You are the gift to us. To us, a son is given. All down through the ages to the us. And you know what he's given to you today? If you don't know Jesus, you are the us. If you don't know Jesus and you want to know, if you want that gift in your life, the one who can change you, the one who can set you free and give you hope and something to live for, the one who can change your very nature, the one who can take that filthy, dirtiness out of you, the one who can take that evil out of you, that sin, it's him. If you want to know him, come up for prayer. Let's all stand. The worship team want to come back. I know Simon is gone, but if you just want to come back and play something, and Phil, if you want to, I'm going to make an altar call for anybody who wants to know this Jesus to come up for prayer, or anybody who wants to go deeper into that revelation. That's the word I'm looking for, deeper. Deeper. If Christmas time for you is a time of stress and strain, I put my hands up to it. I hate that side of Christmas. I think he'd tell you, I hate it. I hate it all. I hate all that Christmas trees and all that. I hate it. I'm a bad humbug. I really am. But I love this. I love this. I love the true message of Christmas. I love that it's to us the Son is given. I love what he's done in my life. And if you want that in your life, if you want to know him and go deeper into that, and so Christmas time can be a time of celebration as much as it's a time of family. Come up to the phone for prayer. Or if you need anything, prayer, come up to us. Amen.